Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. One cold morning when I was standing in front of the wood stove trying to keep warm, I started thinking about excuses. Specifically, did we learn the power of excuses to alter other people's behavior from other people, or is it more deeply rooted? Did the ancient human or humanoid species learn about the power of excuses from animals? Do animals make excuses? I think they do. I think excuses in dogs, for example, take the form of passive aggression. Those sad-eyed looks or going belly up in order to convince us that we really don't want them to get off the couch or off the bed or come in when they don't want to come in. It just pains them too much to do that. I've also encountered dogs who were far more creative. If their owners wanted them to do something they didn't want to do, they would start limping. And a limp combined with a sad-eyed look is doggone potent. Anyone who saw that would definitely want to excuse the animal from whatever it was that they requested that precipitated that response. It's a tough call because in the process of thinking about excuses in animals and excuses in humans, I started to think about how behaviors that might start out as legitimate can persist because we've inadvertently reinforced them. There's a phenomena in human and non-human animals that if there's an injury to a certain part of the body, such as a limb, that makes it impossible for that individual to use the limb, once the injury is resolved, that individual may still not be able to use that limb. Their brain will have zeroed it out. So the line between dysfunction and perpetuated dysfunction after function has been restored is a pretty precarious one. And that in turn made me think about fear. Because I have seen legitimate fears in both humans and animals seg into permanent fears because they have been reinforced in one way or another. I have no doubt that in most cases, the physiology associated with these fears is quite similar. Those are tough problems because increasingly there are more animals who are marketed to us as abused and as suffering from all kinds of fears for legitimate reasons. And if we don't treat those fears in a rational manner, if we don't focus on building that animal's self-control and self-confidence and self-reinforcement, we're going to perpetuate those fears. And as the animal gets older, the fears are going to get worse. And the fears are going to take their toll on the animal's physiology, the animal's health. And why don't we deal with that? Well, sometimes that brings us back to excuses again. It's easier not to. It's easier just to treat the symptoms and forget about the cause. Dull the effects using drugs, or tell ourselves that whatever we're doing, well, it's all that can be done. And maybe that's the way it is for the animal, too. Maybe the animal thinks at night, geez, I don't like being like this. I don't like feeling scared all the time. But, you know, it's just too hard to change. And especially, it would be hard to change if in order for the animal to do so, they would need to disobey the cues they were getting from that person. Always we come back to the same thing. If we're prone to excuses, if we're fearful, pretty doggone hard for our animals not to be the same way. And when they are, well, if we don't want to make excuses for them, then we find ourselves in a very awkward position of not being able to make excuses for ourselves.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.